This is Mental, the podcast to destigmatize mental health. I'm Bobby Temps. Each Thursday, we delve into a factor or condition that influences the mind and how to better manage it. With special guests and stats you can trust, here we go. So this episode is all about body confidence, and we're talking to Rebecca Biggie. She's an incredible podcaster and body confidence coach who I had the privilege of appearing on her podcast with. So we'll talk a little bit more about that at the end of the episode. In the meantime, I've got a few stats about body confidence. So dosomething.org found for the US, which is where Rebecca's from, approximately 91% of women are unhappy with their bodies and resort to dieting to achieve their ideal body shape. I was talking off air about really how sad these statistics make me. They're powerful statistics, but they're not good. And so hopefully we're talking to Rebecca today, we can start to unpack some of the reasons why issues around body confidence are so prevalent and how they can often become things more so like mental health. So we've talked previously in an episode about anorexia specifically with Hannah Brown, where her anorexia experience started out with her going on a diet, and it went downhill for her mental health from there. And so whilst dieting isn't necessarily the enemy, it can be so toxic in so many cases. And so for 91% of women in that particular report to report back that they were dieting at some point in their life because of how they look is really concerning, the amount of them that could potentially have mental health factors come in as a result of that, or potentially cause an effect. It could go the other way as well. And just for a bit of contrast as well, we talk a lot about in the episode women, but we try and keep it general for both genders. But I found a statistic from Huffington Post in terms of men and what they tended to most find issues with. So a survey for New Look found the most common causes of insecurities in men were excessive weight. 26% of men surveyed chose that as the most common option. Waistline, height, muscle size, and definition. Some of these, obviously the biggest one, is a complete parallel. It's size, and we talk about in the episode how much body confidence can be just narrowed down to weight, and realistically it's a lot more than that. But it's interesting that in both cases that I've found, that's been the same across the genders. One more thing before we get into the episode, I've got a definition for body confidence from, again, dosomething.org. Body image is the way that someone perceives their body and assumes that others perceive them. This image is often affected by family, friends, social pressure, and the media. We will cover a lot of those in the episode, and it's an episode I'm really pleased to have done. I really enjoyed speaking to Rebecca both on this and also when I got to be a guest on her show. I think now more than ever, it's really important to just make it a bit more okay to be who you are and encourage people to feel better, often feel better first, and then take action if they feel the need to or if they need to on their appearance. Because we can all do work to improve our own self-perception. And that is so important, so powerful, and so helpful to many people's mental health in general. So we'll get into this episode now with the incredible Rebecca. And I hope you guys appreciate as much as I do her wonderful American accent. But first,
this week's Audible recommendation.
I'm recommending How to Talk to Anyone, 92 Little Tricks for Big Success in Relationships by Leo Lowndes. This book is really insightful in terms of building instant relationships with people you've just met, or even just having small talk with those you already know. And I love the structure of the book in that it's separated it into like individual tips, as opposed to being just in chapters where you need to maybe find a little bit more for yourself where the real insight is. It's actually also I was going to say it's a quick read. It's actually not that quick a read. It's nearly 9 hours, but it's definitely worth it. I found it really useful, and hopefully it will link in well with the episode theme today.
So my name is Rebecca Biggie, and I am a body confidence coach, and I work with people who want to let go of perfectionism and feel at peace in their body and really embrace who they are as both a professional and in their personal life, you know, by overcoming self-doubt. Because in my experience, a lot of people, their low self-confidence starts by how they view themselves and how they view their body and how they have been treated based on their appearance their whole life. So that is really the starting point for me when I work with people, is to understand how their appearance has been influencing their confidence up until this point. So that clearly has a lot to do with your mental state and your mindset, because the people that I work with and the people I've spoken to, their appearance ranges from all the way across the spectrum, both sides of the spectrum. There are people who you would look at them and say, what could this person possibly be insecure about? And yet they struggle with this. So body confidence clearly isn't really about the way you look. It's about the way you think about yourself and the mindset you have about the way you look and how much value you place on your appearance. So that's what I do. And I think that's hugely related to mental health and your mindset.
Yeah, no, for sure. And it's interesting already you've mentioned there about how it's, you know, it's the mindset. And my thinking on it is that it's very much learned behavior. I don't think as kids we're ever born to have concerns about our body. You know, I think that comes at us externally. And unfortunately for most people, it seems we then start to internalize that. But the positive thing is, and, you know, no doubt what a lot of your work is about, is that anything like that you can learn, you can also unlearn it.
Absolutely. And what you said about, you know, children is absolutely true. If you look at children outside playing together, you know, depending on the age, young children, they aren't comparing themselves to each other and saying, you know, you're big and I'm small. It's like they don't even talk about the way that their body looks until they reach a certain age where they've started to learn that behavior and learn to compare themselves and to think of certain appearances as good and certain appearances as bad. And I mean, you look at kids running around outside, they're not thinking about, you know, whether or not their thighs are jiggling when they run, you know, they're just running around having fun. And so clearly you can see, and I believe it's around age 7 or 8 where especially women start feeling self-conscious. And I mean, women, I mean, 8-year-old is, it's a girl, but, you know, that's so young to start comparing yourself and believing that, you know, the way that you look isn't good enough. So it's definitely a learned behavior. And like you said, because it's a learned behavior, that means there's a chance that you're going to be able to unlearn that and learn a different way to think about yourself.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And so you said, you mentioned that you find it can be between 7 and 8. Do you remember where you started becoming more self-conscious as you grew up and where you started to get this idea of a self and then potentially directing criticism towards that?
Well, for me, so my body confidence struggles didn't start until I was probably in my, well, I mean, everyone has their moments of self-criticism, obviously, but it really didn't get bad until I was in my early 20s and I was in a really toxic relationship. And I was taught these patterns of self-criticism by the man I was in a relationship with. But as a child, I remember comparing myself to, like, I have 2 sisters. Mm-hmm. And so I would compare myself like, oh, I never went through like a chubby phase as an adolescent. So that was, my weight was never really something I struggled with. But I think I did start kind of comparing myself to other girls in my class or other people when I was probably around maybe 11 or 12, because that's kind of when everyone's body started changing. And mine really didn't change all that much. And so I don't know if that impacted me in a positive or negative way, but it wasn't really until I was about 21, I believe, when I was in this relationship and I learned these negative thought patterns from that. So I was pretty confident most of my teenage years, and then it got broken down and stripped away from me. And I realized, oh my goodness, like I didn't realize this could happen. I thought I was just a confident person, but I realized that that's not something you're born with, because it got taken away from me. So I had to find a way to get it back. And once I came back from that, I realized, wow, that was very difficult to do. And I don't want women or anyone really to believe that they can't rebuild themselves or build themselves up. If you've never had that sense of self-confidence, it is possible to create it if you focus on it and put work into it.
Mm-hmm, for sure. It's interesting there you mentioned about, you know, when you were going into your teenage years and that was a time when you found yourself comparing to other girls a lot more. I think that's a really common experience, and it's one that to me there's no sort of obvious answer to, because we all go through teenage changes at different times. Bodies all adapt to that in different ways. And, you know, that's not just women, it's men as well. You know, there'll be our bodies change too. And there's, you know, particularly when you're at school, there is that comparison. You know, you've got changing rooms and you see around you how people's bodies can change. And it's almost like there's no ideal except being in the middle and being average. Because, you know, as a girl, for example, you don't want to be the first one to develop breasts, because then you're getting that attention and you're potentially getting, you know, guys on the street start paying attention to you earlier than they should be and things like this. But then at the same time, you don't want to be the last one to see that change. And I think that's, you know, a big part of where these ideas come in about wanting to look normal, because I remember that was something I was really focused on when I was young. Like, I just wanted to look normal. Like, that was the only baseline I wanted. I didn't want to look attractive. I just didn't feel I looked normal, and I wished I did. And nowadays I've taken a complete 360 on that, and I try and avoid using 360 is wrong, 180 on that, a turnaround, not a spin, where I'm now trying to just get the word normal out of my speaking and just instead refer to it as average. Because suddenly then that simple change of word doesn't make it so aspirational.
Absolutely. And the words that you choose to have in your thoughts make a world of difference when it comes to building your body confidence and making that simple shift, like you just mentioned. Like, I'm not going to say that I want to be normal. I'm going to tell myself that I want to be average, or I want to be me. You know, however I'm supposed to look, that's what I'm going to try and encourage myself to look like. Like, for example, there, you know, no matter what you look like, there are going to be things about yourself that you feel should be different or changed in some way. And everyone struggles with this at some point in their life. And so what I found myself doing was I would tell myself, oh, I want my legs to be smaller. I want to have, you know, stronger looking arms or whatever. And I kind of realized that no matter what I did, my legs were kind of built to be a little bit bigger. I have a little bit wider hips relative to the rest of my frame. And, you know, instead of doing everything I can to push back against what my body normally looks like, I just thought to myself, what if I just used my energy to embrace the way I normally look and try and accept what that is for me. So yes, you have a curvier waist and bigger thighs. So how can you embrace that? What clothes can you wear to make yourself feel good looking like that? You know, what exercises can you do to kind of capitalize on the fact that I do have strong legs. So what can I do to show off the fact that my legs are strong instead of viewing them as like too big or something like that? So I tried to view it as a strength instead of something I wanted to fix. And then my appreciation for that part of me just increased.
Yeah. No, that's really great. And I love the way there you've sort of begun to separate the different things you need to work on, because yes, there's your physical self, but you know, that's only half the battle. You know, as you've said, these issues come in all shapes and sizes. We recently recorded an episode on anorexia, and that was the same message from that guest, that, you know, you can be any size and have an eating disorder. Yes. It's about that disparity between your perception and reality, as opposed to necessarily just what you look like. And so I would say, you know, in my experience and in people I know, that actually the biggest change is changing your perception, because you can try and diet, and, you know, even if you're successful and you get thinner, then you're going to set new targets.
Right.
And as people, we seem a bit predisposed to not taking the time to realize the progress we've made. We're always on to the next thing. And actually, that doesn't make us happy. What makes us happy is trying to get better at appreciating where we are now. And we can still strive for things, but if we try and be happy along the journey, that's where the real progress is. And that's what a lot of things like mindfulness and meditation are about. And so I like the way there you've talked about the physical aspect, but then also the simple things you can do in terms of how you dress to accentuate the parts of your body you do like. And I think we talked about, when I was on your podcast, how everyone, whoever you are, it's possible to find that one thing, that one thing you do like. And so if you maybe start with focusing on that, you can go from there.
And you can start also by questioning, what is it about this part of me that I don't like? Why don't I like it? Who told me that it's supposed to look different? And you get to choose if you agree with that idea or not. So there are, all the beliefs that we have come from other people. Like, that's just how humans evolve. We have beliefs from our parents, from our friends, from our teachers. Growing up, you have encountered different beliefs, and some of them you have chosen to carry with you. And the fact that this is just a belief that someone bestowed upon you, and sometimes it's the media, sometimes it's TV shows and movies and things like that, that are telling us, you know, your nose shouldn't look that way, or your hair shouldn't look that way, or you need to have this type of skin or something like that. And if you really question, where is this belief coming from? And am I going to choose to hold myself to that standard? Or am I going to choose to say, you know what? No, I don't have to look a certain way, or I don't have to dislike this part of my body just because, you know, my mom doesn't think that that's the way I'm supposed to look. It's a very empowering practice. And sometimes we don't even realize where those beliefs came from, but yet we hold on to them so tightly. And if you just kind of question, okay, why do I believe that my nose needs to be different? Who told me that? And what am I really going to gain if it were to change? Because like you said, we can always be striving towards something better, but we don't realize the things that we have right now. If we're always focusing on the future, we can never be happy with what we have in the present.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And it's funny what you've reminded me of there is a conversation I had with a friend when we watched one of the Pirates of the Caribbean movies. And Keira Knightley, one of the main actresses in that, has really great cheekbones. And I remember the friend I was with saying how much she wished she had her cheekbones. And that's what you've reminded me of, is that when actually you unpack that, it's like, well, no, you were born with how you look and how your face looks, and she was born with her cheekbones, and that's that. And so when actually mm-hmm. you break it down, it's, you know, it's not really based on anything. There's no logic there. It's not necessarily an attainable or logical goal. And as you say, it may not change anything anyway. You know, right. it, that you've seen that person in a movie and that's why you aspire to be like them. They're not actually right. necessarily aspirational for you. And that's very much where I try and come at appearance now, because in like the modeling work I do, and, you know, just being a human in the modern age, you are constantly surrounded by posters of, mm-hmm. you know, what are supposedly the ideal appearances. And it really struck me when I went to Malaysia not long ago that almost all of the models were white. You know, so I went all that way, and then I'm seeing all the same ads as I see over here. And it's like, but that's completely irrelevant to the aspirations for someone Malaysian, because that's right. just who they're never going to look like. It just makes no sense. And once you start becoming aware of these things, it's, you can sort of flick a switch, and then you don't stop seeing them, you keep seeing them, and it becomes easier to tackle them head on. And now I've tried to really shift it to where I'm focused on being the best version of me, taking it very much from, you know, like it's an anecdote I like about being on a map. You know, you go to a shopping center or a mall, you'd say in the US, and you've got it, you've got that map, and you can't get anywhere until you find that bit that says you are here. Mm-hmm. And so you need to find for you what's your normal, what's the things you can aspire for, because no one can take that away from you. No one can ever look more like me than I do. No one can ever look more like you than you do. And I think there's such power in realizing that.
Mm-hmm. And also, no one will look like you, but your purpose as a human is not to look a certain way or to aspire to look a certain way. It's whatever you want to create in your life, that is your purpose. So what the analogy I like to use with just getting a different mindset about your appearance and your body in general is, instead of looking at your body as a work of art that you're always working on, you know, trying to fix this or improve that or change something here and there, think of your body as the paintbrush, and think of your life as the masterpiece, the work of art that you are creating. And you use your body as a tool that you can use to create your life. And it's about the life that you're creating. Are you happy? Do you have people in your life who care about you? Do you care about people in your life? And are you improving the lives of people around you? Like, that's what it's all about. And sometimes we get so focused on, you know, getting a new paintbrush or having the best paintbrush or things like that. But at the end of the day, it's like, well, the paintbrush doesn't matter. It's about the masterpiece. Like, what are you creating? Changing your mindset from focusing on your appearance to just focusing on what you're doing with your life and what your body allows you to do, because your body is an amazing tool that allows you to create and connect with other people and do amazing things. So just kind of thinking about it in the terms of what your purpose really is can really help your, just do a little quick mindset shift to say, all right, am I thinking about the paintbrush or am I thinking about the artwork? Because I think I'm focusing a little too much on the paintbrush right now, you know, and then kind of course correcting a little bit.
I absolutely know what you mean. But no, it's a really good point. And it's sort of makes me think about how ultimately our bodies are the greatest tool we'll ever own. Mm-hmm. There's nothing, you know, by all means, listeners at home, try and think of something. Try and think of a device or an object that you own that's going to achieve as much in your life as you can. And really, if you start framing it like that, of all the things you can do just because of all the privilege of who you are, because we've talked a lot about, you know, more maybe stereotypical beauty, but actually, you know, I think ultimately there's beauty in the abilities we have. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that we can see the world, the fact that we can experience it, that, you know, most people are able-bodied for most of their life. And, you know, these things are all privileges. And actually, if any of that changes, it puts everything else to shame, really. It's, mm-hmm. you know, often people go through something really traumatic to realize how lucky they were to begin with. And by trying to be more self-aware, as you've touched on a few times, we can try and appreciate what we have now rather than having to lose some of it or age or whatever it is. Because ultimately, most of us will look back at our old photos and think how great we really looked then.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's a shame to think of time you may have wasted criticizing yourself only to look back and think, I wish I looked like that.
It's right, because we are all aging anyway. Mm-hmm. Like if you put too much emphasis and focus on your appearance, you have no choice. You'll eventually be disappointed because you're never going to look better than like you do right now. You'll never be younger than you are right now. So like you said, you know, you can look back on these times where in the moment, maybe you thought you looked terrible or whatever. And then you realize, no, actually I look good in that picture. Or maybe you knew at the time that you were looking your best, but maybe you were terribly unhappy. So you see that picture and you go, yeah, I look great, but man, I was miserable. Mm-hmm. So it's not always about, you know, the way that you look. It's really the quality of your life. And if you're looking back on pictures, yeah, if you're beating yourself up over looking a certain way, even you might not notice all of the flaws that you saw back then.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And that plays well into the sort of link between how you are mentally and how you are physically, because mm-hmm. I think most of us can find that photo where we were going through a really bad patch in our life, and often we're still smiling. And mm-hmm. that's one of the seemingly universal traits for mental health, is that you become better at pretending you're okay. You become better at smiling through the pain or the insecurity or whatever is going on with you. And actually, ultimately, I hope that's the message we're putting across, is that there's only so far you can go with it. You know, I know loads of really insecure models. It's not binary. There aren't some people that are just happy because of the way they look and people that aren't mm-hmm. happy because of the way they look. It's a lot more nuanced. It's a lot more, I'd say, mostly to do with your perception as opposed to what you look like. Because even what's considered conventionally attractive, that's constantly changing anyway. And so mm-hmm. it's impossible to hold yourself to those standards. And I actually have a quote from someone that's, I get the impression, has had to do that, who's been in the media enough that she was concerned about being typecast. And that's Emma Watson, best known probably for playing Hermione Granger in the Harry Potter series. Mm-hmm. And the quote I got for her is, I keep telling myself that I'm a human being, an imperfect human being who's not made to look like a doll.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really powerful, because particularly when people reach a certain really public place like she has, there can be all this pressure on her to look a certain way. She went through years of filming where she had to look like this fictional character, and she couldn't change her haircut and things like that. So then she mm-hmm. leaves that, and the first thing she does is chop it all off, because mm-hmm. she's sick of the pressure and the narrow ideas other people are putting on her body. And whilst not everyone can relate to her position, I think we can all relate to other people having a little bit too much say on us and how we look.
Absolutely. I think that whether good or bad, having too much of other people's opinions focused on your appearance is unhealthy. Even if your parents or your friends go on and on about how good you look, that can also be negatively impacting your body image, because then you get these ideas in your head that I am only worthy of attention and love if I can maintain the way that I look. So I better not gain any weight, or else, you know, my friends or my parents won't think that I'm as valuable as I am right now, or I better not change my hair. I better not get wrinkles. I better not spend too much time in the sun, because then I'm going to get age spots or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Trying to maintain and hold on to the appearance that you have, if people are always saying good things about your appearance, is equally as harmful, because then you're afraid that if something changes, people will stop seeing as much value in you. And I think that that's something that not many people talk about. I think that when we talk about body image and we talk about body confidence and body positivity, it's really focused towards people who struggle with weight. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons I started my podcast, is because I never struggled with weight, but I went through some of the hardest times in my life because of the way that I was thinking about my body. And I went out into the world to try and find help with this, and I really didn't find anything for someone who wasn't struggling with their weight. It was all focused on weight, mm-hmm. and trying to lose weight mostly. Yeah. And I think that there are a lot of people out there, men and women, who are unsatisfied with the way that they look. And it's not because of weight. It can be because of anything. You mentioned when I had you on my podcast about, you know, the length of your arms, was it?
How kind of skinny they were. That I felt like growing up, my elbows were too bony.
Yes.
To the extent yes. where I felt the need to cover them up.
Right. And so that wasn't like, you know, you needed to lose weight in order to look good. It was something very specific. And I think a lot of people have something like that. Like, for example, me, I used to really not like my nose. And, you know, a lot of people have plastic mm-hmm. surgery to
and
fix
that's the thing.
Their
I'm,
nose.
Even straight away hearing that, I'm really surprised, because, you know, I would never think any, like, right now trying to think about it, I can't tell you what's wrong with your nose.
right. And it's just, it's these little things that we see, or we see as a bigger issue, that anyone else is like, oh, I like your nose. And that's mm-hmm. one of the things my fiance says. He's like, I love your nose. And so to think that at one point in my life, I was like, I want to get a nose job. I want to get rid of this. And then someone who loves me loves that part of me. It's like, you know, what if I would have gotten a nose job, mm-hmm. and then now I look like everyone else, and I think that I look normal and whatever. You're erasing the things that make you.
Yeah.
And the people who love you are going to love those unique things about you. That's why they like you, because you're different, and there are things that make you distinctly you. And one of the things that I talk about is, you know, what if you started seeing your flaws as distinct characteristics mm-hmm. of your appearance?
Yeah.
How would that change the way you look at yourself? Like, now I don't see my nose as, oh, I have, you know, a really round nose that I don't like. I think of it as, oh yeah, this is my nose, and this is what makes me different. Mm-hmm. This is how someone could, you know, say, yep, that's Rebecca. Because mm-hmm. I recognize her nose. You know, she has her dad's nose, you know? So instead of seeing them as flaws, you can choose to reframe your mindset and choose the words that you're using to describe yourself, especially in your thoughts, because that's where everything starts, is in your mm-hmm. thoughts. And decide to say, you know, my ears or my elbows or my nose, that's a distinct characteristic mm-hmm. of my appearance. And yeah. without it, maybe I wouldn't be me. Maybe I wouldn't be unique. There's a reason why I was made the way that I am. Whether you believe in God or spirits or whatever, there's a reason the universe created everyone differently. Mm-hmm. So instead of trying to fight that, you can at least practice thinking of it like, okay, this is a distinct characteristic.
For sure. No, I really, really love how you've put that. And I just want to, we're coming near the end of the time, so I just want to kind of summarize up on that a little bit, and then we'll talk a little bit about your podcast. In mm-hmm. that I think, you know, we're not for a moment saying it's easy to build up this self-confidence, but it's absolutely possible. It's something that we've mm-hmm. both done a lot of work on. It's something that you work with your clients on constantly. And ultimately, although it's not easy, it's the best way to look after you, because other people's opinions, trends, ideas of what's conventionally attractive, they're always going to fluctuate. And they're not ever meant for you. They're meant for the masses. And so really, although it takes constant work and, you know, you need to remind yourself that those things you have concerns about are okay, and you need mm-hmm. to be conscious when you're comparing yourself to other people, you need to stay aware of, oh, I'm worried about this, and try and break it down what that concern is really about and where you've got that from, so that you can try and dismantle it. But ultimately, if you can do all of that, you're going to be the most reliable support, more so than anyone else, more so whoever they are, whether it's a partner, whether it's your mom, your dad, a close family member. If you can work at it, you'll always be the most reliable person for looking after yourself and your confidence. And hopefully that's the kind of message we can sum up on. What do you think?
Absolutely. And I love what you said about it's not easy, and it's, you're also not going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. There are still times where I start picking apart my appearance and saying, oh, I wish, you know, maybe I could lose a few pounds, or maybe I could do this differently. Maybe I could try this skin treatment. And I have to kind of check in with myself and say, okay, why are you feeling this way? Why do you think that this is something you want to do? And so I don't want you to think that if you have one day where you start getting down on yourself that you're a failure and you may as well give up because, you know, you couldn't stick with it. It's if it were so easy to just say, oh, I'm going to be confident now, everyone would be confident. But it's not easy, and it takes practice, and it takes a lot of forgiveness for yourself and realizing that you're not going to be perfect, and you're going to have good days and bad days. And that doesn't mean that you are good or bad. It just means this is your journey and you're practicing, and that's all you can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really love that. And so before we finish then, could you tell the listeners a bit about your podcast?
Absolutely. So I have a podcast called The Body Confidence Podcast. And I bring people like Bobby on my show to talk about their personal experiences with body image issues, or sometimes I bring on doctors and psychologists to talk about the mindset that goes along with things like eating disorders or body dysmorphia or things like that. So there's a lot of different perspectives and people that I bring on the show to talk about it. But then also sometimes I have just solo episodes where I break down a little bit of my own story and ways that I help my clients work through this. And really, it's just part of the practice of body confidence is having those voices in your life that are positive and telling you that the way you are is enough, if you're willing to believe it yourself. And so that's my podcast. Yeah. And
I think that's so important what you've said there about having the positive voices. And so mm-hmm. I'm really, really glad that you're out there doing that. And so definitely I'd encourage our listeners to go take a look at that. I really enjoy listening to the show myself. And actually we're orchestrating this so we put out this episode and your episode where I'm a guest on the same week. So if mm-hmm. you're listening to this in your feed, it means Rebecca's podcast episode with me in is already available. It's released on Tuesday. You can find that on Apple Podcasts. Where else?
Mm-hmm. Oh, pretty much everywhere you can get podcasts. That's on Stitcher and Spotify. I also have it hosted on my website, RebeccaBiggie.com, just in case you don't have... I don't know. Well, I guess if you're listening to this, you probably have a podcast app. but just in case, you know, I also have it hosted on my website.
Brilliant. Okay. Thank you so much. It's been great to talk to you.
Yes, you too.
And now, an account for a healthier online world.
This week, I'm recommending this week's guest, and that's Rebecca Biggie. You can find her on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, if you just search her name. The spelling is a little bit less common, so I'll spell it. It's R-E-B-E-K-A-H, and then her last name, B-U-E-G-E. I'll also pop a link in the description as well. And that's the best place to find her to keep up with the work she does around body confidence, learn more about what that is she does, and also keep up with her podcast and when those releases are as well.
Thank you for listening. For a list of our recommended resources, visit mentalpodcast.co.uk. And remember, we are in no way a substitute for qualified counselling or other mental health support. Our show is edited and produced by the brilliant Pete Murta, with licensed music by NetSky. Links in the description. Speak to you next Thursday, and remember, you are enough.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.